Hey everybody, welcome to the Stage Right Podcast. I'm Carlos Estevez, and along with my co-host Chris McCone, we will talk about life on the road, share advice, stories, perspectives, and help deepen your understanding of everything tour. On today's episode, we're touching up on our basic workflow on tour, how we work together, and how an average day in the life of our crew goes.
How you doing today, Los?
Doing pretty fresh, Chris. Thanks for asking. How are you doing, my friend?
You're looking pretty fresh. I'm doing well, though. I'm not looking quite as fresh. I got the flower shirt and the camo hat not really matching, but it's okay.
Yeah, dude. I don't know what kind of Minnesota fashion you have going on right now.
All right. So today, Los and I tour with a band called Aeration. We're going to talk about an average day in the life on our two-bus, two-trailer tour. Where we carry lighting and audio with us. I want to talk about the very start of our day. Obviously, there's a crew bus and a band bus. Los and I obviously reside on the crew bus. And we usually get up around, what would you say, Los, around 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, depending on the day.
Depending on the day and the week. I would say more so the week than the day.
But... And of course, the first thing we do is you go to the cabinet, get a bagel, go to the fridge, get that Philly cream cheese.
Yeah, man. You go for coffee. Definitely a little bagel. I think that's probably my breakfast of choice on the bus, I would say. Just grab some cream cheese, maybe an avocado if we have some.
Maybe that smoked salmon.
Yeah, when there is smoked salmon, man. Wow, what a treat. That's nice. Start off your day like that with a lox bagel. Oh my God, what a treat. Coffee in the morning in the bus.
Absolutely.
Anyways, now that the food situation is done, you know, you gather your affairs, you brush your teeth, make yourself presentable for the crew that you're visiting for the day.
I was like, for who? For the roadies sitting in the venue?
Yeah, man. Presentable. Nothing crazy. Just brush your hair, wash your teeth, your mouth.
I don't do any of that. I walk out haggard as fucking sweatshorts and flip-flops.
Hey, man, to each their own. That's just my own personal thing.
So after we get situated on the bus, we're going to give you a little guide of what Los and I think is the best procedure for a smooth, integrated, happy load-in with no fighting. So usually we let lighting load in an hour before us just so they can get situated. We know how much upstage space we have and we're not tripping over Lenny's cables or fighting with him on placement. That seems like the best workflow for us. Would you agree with that, Los?
Yeah, man. I think it's definitely the best way for our situation to work, whether we're in an amphitheater or club, and let him do his thing. And then we can come in and assess the situation, see what we have to work with and start the day. But yeah, letting lighting do their thing first is the move. And that's usually how it goes, anywhere from, you know, club level up to arenas. But yeah, lighting's always first in audio.
But yeah, I think it's especially important in a club situation to let lighting come in first, because it's really difficult in those tight spaces to have lighting and audio in at the same time, because everyone's fighting over space. It's a lot easier to let one person take at least some priority as long as you trust them. But also I think it's really important for at least one person from the audio crew to be in the venue as lighting loads in, just to see any potential problems a lighting guy might not see as far as cable paths or guitar monitor worlds are concerned, you know?
Yeah, definitely, man. You want to have your production manager or your audio crew chief in the building as things are rolling, just to make some calls on your team's behalf and also make a game plan for the day.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the big things for all of us to remember too, especially as people who are running their own worlds, who are either head of audio or whatever you are, head of lighting, is to be conscientious of everyone on stage, because everyone's working towards the same show. No one's working as one unit. So making sure, like if you're one of the stage techs like I am, making sure your risers are pulled forwards so the lighting guy can still run his cabling behind the risers, making sure there's space for monitor racks or, you know, consoles to roll in so lighting is not blocking any kind of entryways. That's super important.
Right. Yeah. I mean, to me, one of my biggest pet peeves is cable management and just tidiness, man. Like I keep a super clean, organized world, and it's just better, especially if there's any troubleshooting during the show or whenever, you know, whenever it can be at sound check, line check. It's just easier to trace your issues or problems that way, and it looks way better.
You never want to search through spaghetti to find a cable you're looking for that's bad, you know.
Those are tour nightmares, basically.
Absolutely. And that's super important part of it. And as a guitar tech, I always let Los find his world first, and we discuss it a little bit beforehand, and then guitar tech I think always goes in last, because I have the most fluidity to move between spaces. Even if the guitar rack is far away, I can make that work. But that sight line for a modern engineer is so important to have, so we can really read the musicians and know exactly what he has to do during the show.
Yeah, man. For our case, our scenario, our gear are in the same trailer, so we dump at the same time, and we figured out that workflow that works for us. It's only been a couple of occasions I can think of, you know, that one time we played in Nashville where you were stage left and I was stage right, and you were basically like in a closet trapped.
Yeah. And I think a big part of that, making those tough situations work, which are always going to happen, you're always going to get thrown curveballs, is always communication. Because like on any stage, Los and I always talk about our situation. And when we're stage left and right, it sucks because Los and I communicate a lot during the show.
Yeah, man. It's it just changes the whole flow of your day, because on tour, what you want is consistency, and changing a big element like that, it throws things off. It throws the mojo off.
It really does. And no matter what, even if you're on a tour, and I know Los and I have both been on these tours, if you hate the guy next to you, you hate the monitor guy, you still got to talk to him, because you're going to let the show suffer, and he's going to hate you even more if you don't have at least a basic discussion about how the show flow is going to go.
It's unfortunate, but it happens. Hopefully you really like your crew and the people that you're traveling with. A lot of these people have become like lifelong friends, man. Most of them, I would say.
Yeah, if you haven't toured before and you're listening to this to try to gain some knowledge on what tour's like, the camaraderie is one of the biggest parts, because a lot of people outside of tour don't understand the bond you form, even after 2-3 days. Because you just don't leave each other's sides. Not intentionally. You just don't have the option, because you live together, sleep together, eat together, work together. You're just always in the same boat. So you just get to see the best and the worst of everyone really, really quickly off the bat. And it does create lifelong friends really quickly. I've created, I don't know how many on tour, whether it's bands or crew members, you know. All right, Liz, so we're set up. I've got my, we're rack to rack, monitor rack to guitar rack. Everything's good. It's a good venue. I've got all my pedals out, all that fun stuff. What do we do next?
Well, okay. Desks are placed. Your pedals are out there. We run some sub snakes out to the risers. Start placing mics also.
I mean, all mics placed, all powers run. Make sure venue gives us adequate backline power. Get your, obviously your, cross stage to patch into the house PA system to get monitors and side fills going.
Yeah, get front of house snake ran. I need to get my cross stage to the wedges that I normally borrow from the venue, which are a pair of downstage wedges for our lead singer and a pair of side fills.
The keyboard wedge.
Oh, a keyboard wedge, of course.
For that nice deep bassy bubble.
You got to feel that bubble, bro. It's reggae. Yeah, man. And then I usually start looking for antenna placements, and I start scanning the spectrum for some clean frequencies, and I deploy them. And then I turn my console on after that, load my file, make sure everything looks kosher. And
that's, I think that's a big thing to mention for any guitar tech, is you are below the monitor engineer. So once he gets his frequencies, you scan yours. And again, on the communication front, Los and I...
We're all the same. I wouldn't say below, man. I mean,
I wouldn't say below, but as priority goes, as far as setup is concerned, I let you scan your frequencies first. And then usually I discuss with you what you're taking, or what clean bands there are if I can't find any, and then scan and assign after you.
Yeah, that's another unique thing about our workflow. Like on me, and I feel like most tours, that job just falls onto the monitor engineer responsibility list of just scanning all wireless in general. And yeah, we help each other. Like if you can't find any clean channels, and you know, then we take a look at the spectrum and see what we can find and work together. That's a whole nother teamwork, man.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
That's right.
And then it's time for sound check. And my biggest
line check. Yeah, man. That's where we get to have some fun. Just jump on the instruments.
Los is usually on bass.
Little bass.
And my biggest number one thing for any guy who's line checking, if you touch any cable, you got to yell mute it.
Yes. Super loud and like with confidence.
And you got to wait for confirmation, because if you pull a subsnake when it's not muted,
dear Lord,
you're going to fuck. Yeah, you're going to blow everyone's ears out and fuck some shit
up. Exactly, man. That's a big pet peeve of mine, too. If you're unplugging anything, if it's a quarter inch in XLR, especially a Subsnake, like, for the love of God, make sure monitors in front of house know, or at least one of them. So
that's the first time. That's the first time Los yelled at me on, like, my second day on iRation. I didn't even pull the Subsnake. We had these shitty Subsnakes that shorted out like a motherfucker, and I, like, bumped the cable, and it just, like, shot. Like a shock, it shot a shockwave through like the PA and the side fills. I was like, oh my God, what have I done?
Man, those were horrible, dude. I'm so glad we upgraded. The tours we do with the iRation guys, we have rehearsals, and before even rehearsals, we have a crew day to get any kinks out and get everything set up and spread the way we want to spread it. So everything's pretty dialed, man. Even by week one of tour, and I would say by week two, we're, you know, messing around a line check. And then, yeah, after line check, the band comes in.
Really, just for these days, just for one song, and they just jam out, which is exactly what you want to see as a crew guy. When your band is not making adjustments and are playing weird, either metal jams and they're a reggae band, or reggae jams and they're a metal band, that's how you know you've gotten to a comfortable place.
Yeah. If they're playing anything but their music, you're in a good place on tour. Dude, yeah, it's funny, man. But it feels good. It feels good. And that's what you want to achieve. Like, everyone to become, especially for us on stage, like, you want your dudes and artists, dudettes, to be just comfortable, man, and mellow and just no worries, stress free, and just be on stage and let them enjoy themselves, and they can do their thing, give us a quick check and walk off. And then, you know, can continue the day and expand.
And after that line check, you know, we go straight into sound check with the boys. Like we said, if they're playing anything but their own music, we're really happy. We know they're feeling good on stage. And then on our tour, we have our VIP meet and greet, where the band plays three songs to a crowd on stage, which is always nice for us to get a kind of show feel, to make sure everything is really in place.
Yeah.
To work out any last kinks.
It's definitely like a mock show, that VIP sound check meet and greet situation. I definitely treat it like one. It's like go time.
Absolutely. And then after that, that's our one chance to either walk the city, get some lunch, or most likely take a nap, in my case.
Yeah, depends on the day and the week, like I mentioned
earlier. And the city, frankly.
And the city. Mostly the city, too. If you're in New York, I don't care, man. Like, I don't care if I haven't slept. Like, I'm going to go out and get some pizza, go to Joe's Pizza, or grab a bagel, or
hit the jewelry store.
You have to go see that, like, not everyone gets the chance to be in New York. And that's just one of those places, man, that you just have to go see. It's, I don't care how many times you've been there, I don't think you've seen it all.
Whenever I get off the bus in either, I don't know why, but New York or Chicago or Philly, any of those really big East Coast cities, I just get this, like, just excited, happy feeling, just smelling, even just smelling the homeless piss just gives me, like, this rush.
I feel like we've had a lot of good days off in Chicago and New York.
Yeah, I mean, New York is my, I think it's my all-time favorite city in the U.S. I have to say, my favorite big city. It's way up there for me.
San Francisco, I think I would go with.
Yeah, and see, I'm an East Coast guy, though, and I have a lot more friends in New York than San Fran.
But yeah, I love New York. If we're talking two, I would say New York and San Fran, hands down.
Yeah. And one of my favorite venues, I have to say, the new, was it Pier 17?
Yes, Pier 17. Wow.
Just a gorgeous venue on the river. Like, what is it? Like six floors up, just like overlooking Manhattan. It's just
something like that. Yeah, the Brooklyn Bridge is as the backdrop. Oh my God, what an incredible setup. The loading's a little bit, you know, it takes time, but it's worth it, man. I feel like the people that, you know, the venue staff there were super great, and the union help was actually really good there. Also, shout out to your local in New York. And I had an excellent day, man, over there at that venue. Shout out to Pier 17.
Did we go out that day?
We had lunch a few blocks away somewhere.
That's right. That cool little kind of cafe vibe.
Right by the water and the bridge. Yeah, it was cool.
And then, so we've been rambling, but after that, I mean, for basic show flow, we do the show. Los and I usually get on stage. I get on about an hour before just to tune guitars, make sure everything's all fine, check the tracks and all that kind of stuff. And then Lowe's pops up probably 30 minutes before. We make sure all the batteries are changed, all that. And then we do a fucking show.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that's definitely like my flow before show. I just kind of like get in the zone and go check up on frequencies, make sure all my packs and microphones are clean, and then change batteries if I need to. I've already cleaned the ears. When I say ears, I'm talking molds. I usually do that right after sound check, so I don't have to do it all right before the show. The less things before you have to do before the show, the better, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And I want to give out one piece of advice to any guitar tech or tech of any kind, and maybe even any monitor guys out there. Don't think you can remember anything. I don't care how great your memory is, how smart you are, write everything down, because you will forget shit. Because I tried to not write things down when I first started, and I would forget all kinds of stuff. And now I have notes. I write my set list every night with every guitar change. I don't care how well I know the set. I check this set list constantly. I write down notes for every little thing I have to do on stage, like a checklist, so I don't forget to put a fan out or put guitar picks on or any stupid little shit that you would forget as a tech. Just write every single thing down, because you will forget one night and it's going to suck.
Yeah, man. Get yourself a little notepad, notebook, whatever. Grab a random day sheet piece of paper and write in the back of it. Get a Sharpie and write in your hand.
And that's the most important thing about workflow, I think, is just making sure you're organized and prepared and think about every possibility. Because everything can work fine, but if you're not prepared for the inevitable, then you're gonna fall flat on your face, because every problem is going to arise at some point. So just make sure you think about what can go wrong and try to prepare for it as best as you can, or try to prevent it as best you can.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just staying calm, keeping your cool, and think in terms of signal flow and figure your problem out that way.
And the problem is almost has the easiest solution. Like if your guitar goes down, it's probably not because the amp failed. Someone probably kicked a plug out, or there's a cable bad. Like, don't ever go to the worst case scenario, because it's almost always not the case.
It's usually the easiest thing, believe it or not.
Like 90% of the time, it's a loose cable, or you unplug it, replug it, and you're fine, or you restart the amp and you're fine. It's almost never these big catastrophic problems. They happen. Obviously, they happen, so be ready for them, but it's super rare.
Start thinking simple first is what we're trying to get to here, I guess.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Exactly. Kiss. And then, okay, so, boom. The band's boom about Kanani to walk on stage. What do we do, man? House lights are about to go down. What do you do, Chris? Do you just, like, untune every guitar? And
I usually smack the guitars against the road case a few times just to really get them in shape, get them ready, get them hyped, you know, like smack a fighter in the face, you know? Before the boys walk on stage, everything is tuned. I usually do a final tune, and then I polish every guitar before I hand it to the guys. And then I also do some string lubricant on every guitar and make sure they're all feeling nice. And then I hand them off to the boys. I'll go back up to my station. I'll make sure all my wireless is still steady. The boys are usually noodling, so I can make sure I have input and output on my Kempers. I can see input on my wireless, so I know everything's good. Make sure all my battery levels are good on all my guitars. I will go check my Trax rig, make sure all my outputs are correct, make sure my interface is seeing my computer or both computers because I have a backup, and make sure everything looks good. I'll usually share some kind of joke with Los about something. And then what about you, Los?
Yeah, as soon as we're getting the radio call that band's ready and house lights are about to go down, I take my case for the ears, where I have all the wireless packs and ear molds for the guys. Usually somewhere stage right, I would say, behind the curtain or wall or whatever stage situation we have for them to comfortably grab their ears and put them on and, you know, situate themselves, get psyched, get prepped.
The most private place possible.
And then, yeah, just run back to the console, look at all my inputs and outputs, make sure they're good. Pink my side fills and wedges one last time just to make sure everything sounds good.
Oh, we skipped over one thing, though. The final line check before the show starts, during setup. We didn't even talk about fucking changeover. Ah, we're a mess.
Yeah. Anyways, changeover happens.
Usually if we're on a larger stage, we don't move our risers. So the entire upstage end of the side of the stage is completely set in stone. So all I have to do really is pull my pedal boards back out, pull the mics back out. Los has to run cabling to those downstage mics, replace the wedges. Los will pink those wedges in the side. Phil's make sure everything is good there. And then we'll do our final line check, where I'll go through and play every single instrument, make sure all of our channels are good. We'll test tracks. And then once that's done, all the water, for me, it's like all the waters are out, the shakers are out, everyone has enough picks, all set lists, fans, all that kind of stuff. Then we'll go back to our worlds. Then I'll do my final tune. Then I'll polish the guitars. And then the boys will come up to their little area downstage right. Sorry, upstage right, but like down the stairs on stage right. I'll walk the guitars down to them if there are stairs, get everyone set up, and then we'll start that routine where I check everything, make sure there's input. Los will check his channels, maybe do one last pink of the wedges. Then after that, our good friend Colin Blakely will come on stage, do one last check of the stage, our tour manager, and then he'll make sure we're all good to go. He'll shine a flashlight at front of house to make sure Peeps is good to go, shine a flashlight at me, and then I will start the intro on my laptop, which will start the big boomy intro to the set. And then we're off to the races. The boys walk on stage.
Run on stage, walk on stage, whatever they're feeling that night, and the show starts. And that's all the hard work of the day paying off. That's what we work for, that little moment, whether it's 60 minutes to 90 minutes, whatever it is, you know. It's all for that.
During the show, it's like, you know, there are moments when Los and I will talk and chat quickly, but a lot of it's, even though it looks like some of us might not be doing that much, it's really an intense focus on the band to constantly scan every member, make sure there's no problems. Because if there are, you can't be, you know, chatting with someone and looking the other way and miss that problem. So you have to fix that as fast as you possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, as a monitor engineer, that's one of the toughest part of the gigs. With the guys, we have 7 people on stage, so I have to keep an eye out on all 7 of these guys at all times. So obviously you can't be chatting with guests side stage, or, you know, getting a drink or taking pictures or whatever. You can't, you just got to be super dialed and focused on this show to where like any sudden change that needs to get made, and like, it's a lot of just looking, you know, and hopefully you don't have to do a lot of changes. You know, there's always like different players and you just kind of get to know them in your band. Like, okay, this person, you know, I gotta keep an eye out for them during this song or just during the whole set sometimes.
And there's also another great time when both of us being stage right comes in handy, because we can have a lot of communication. Because there's been many times where Los has, you know, pointed something out to me that I didn't see for whatever reason. I was watching someone else or looking at something on the tracks, and vice versa.
Yeah, it's just way faster than like picking up a talkback and relaying that message to the other side of the stage. You can just like look and talk, or you look and point, and like, you know, you already know, or I already know what's going on.
And it helps too. I've helped you with this. Like if you're, you know, working with Poosh on something, I can still see Kaysen, you know, mention something and I can relay it to you as soon as you're done working with Poosh, when you could never be looking at
that
two people.
Too, just, yeah. There's days where like my upstage right, where our keyboard player Kaysen is kind of blocked, and Chris has a view of him. So yeah, he relays the messages to me. And yeah, man, that's another thing that I love of us just being together on stage right.
Helps being friends too. It makes it a lot easier to do that communication back and forth. So be friends with your monitor guy or your stage right or stage left partner.
Yeah, man. Your crew is your friends and your family, man. So remember that.
Without a doubt. And then fuck, after that, after the show's done and it's gone perfectly, because we never mess up, obviously.
Nah, man. Spotless.
You load out. Again, like we said with the load in, it's all about being conscientious. Conscientious of your fellow crew members. So
I'm the foreigner.
Yeah. my first task is to get everything out of the way of risers and lighting, so Lenny can get his cables out and we're not a tangled mess. So he can do his stuff. And then if we can, pull the risers forward so he's not just working in a, you know, a foot gap between his lighting towers and our risers.
Yeah, so it depends all about on that. The venue. There's venues where like that doesn't even need to happen and you have all the room in the world and it's a perfect day and night.
But it's just, you know, being aware of those situations and being ready to help your crew members do their work as fast as possible so everyone ends happy.
But when you don't, which is probably most of the time.
Audio comes first.
Just remember, kids, audio comes first.
Damn always. Straight. And then, you know, you bump some tunes, pack your shit up.
The way we do it during loadout, and we're putting stuff back in road cases and getting to roll out of the venue, we just get some tunes going, both for load in and load out. just to keep the energy flowing. Everyone's happier when there's music around. It's rare that somebody's not in the mood to listen to music.
You don't want to sit in a silent venue. No one wants to be in a silent venue loading out.
You're trying to get pumped up and just get it going and finish the day, go home.
Also, kids, if you can't over-under your cables, don't go on tour. If you don't know what over-under means, you can't tour yet. Don't even step foot in a van. Look it up online and go wrap your extension cable like 1,000 times in a row and learn to over-under, because stagehands who can't over-under my cables, I'm furious. And if you're a lefty and there's a partial wrap of a cable, you better unwrap that entire cable and wrap the entire thing lefty.
That is another pet peeve of mine, just the over-under. And that just goes with cable management, I suppose, of just, it just saves time, dude. Like when people wrap a cable the wrong way, then you have to untie it and like figure it out. And that just takes time out of your day.
And those little things matter a lot. Those little things take up a lot of time. And if you have, like for me, a lot of the time, I have really long Cat 6s from my Kemper to my Kemper pedals. And if I have half left hand wound and half right hand wound, it's just a nightmare. It just ruins my whole load. And
yeah. Yeah. So pick your stagehands wisely. Another little pro tip, I guess. Try to look for people that know what they're doing.
Single out your guy and take that guy for the whole day.
Guy or gal, and just, you know, make friends, man. You never know. And these new friends can become homies, and these homies give you some sweet recommendations when you're in their town.
That's a big thing too, is don't be dicks to stagehands, because, you know, you're going to be back. I've been back to, I don't know how many venues, how many times, but you're going to be back at that venue again, and that stagehand's probably still going to be there. And they're going to, if you're nice, they're going to remember you. And if you're a dick, they're for sure going to remember you.
Yep. It's a small world, man, and word gets out there pretty fast. You know, there's no reason for your day to be hard, and it makes it harder. It's like a roadblock. Why do that to yourself? Just make friends and have an easier day.
You got to start off positive. Start off with Philly cream cheese and some salmon. Be nice and you'll be good to go. I got strawberry Philly in the fridge right now.
Oh my God, man. Yeah, you see, you know, me and Chris are friends, but we don't agree on everything. But we're still friends.
We all know who's right, though. Everyone knows strawberry cream cheese fire.
Bro, we'll have to throw a little vote up somehow and figure this out with her public.
Yeah, on the Instagram, yeah. And then after you load out on stage, obviously, whoever gets done first is going to load their trailer first. A lot of the time it's audio, but if it's a little less structured during loadout, you know, lighting takes a little longer usually. So, you know, we're pushing to our audio trailer. We take our hands and all that. And another big thing is, you know, you have to know your trailer pack. It might take a week or 2 weeks for you to get it down, but make sure you pack that trailer properly. Think about it. Think about what happens if the bus driver smashes the gas or the brakes. Make sure nothing is going to move. Nothing's getting hurt. And get that locked in so you can really not be ambiguous with stagehands, because stagehands hate nothing more than someone figuring out a pack or just being like, oh yeah, maybe that goes there. I don't know. We'll try it. They hate that. So have your pack down, have it solid, have it memorized, so you can just get the cases out.
Call it.
Yeah, call it. Yeah. Get them in.
Once it gets to your trailer, you need to call it where it goes. Don't be second guessing yourself, because that's when you start losing your hands and everyone's just trying to pack the trailer and go home, dude. Like, finish work. Nobody wants to take longer there, you know, in a hot, sweaty, humid trailer, or freezing depending on the season.
And don't be a pussy, like, you know, be authoritative, you know, let them know where things go.
Yeah, man, it's all about that, just getting the
walk on you for sure,
gear back in the cases, rolling it out.
Absolutely.
I like to line it up mm-hmm. before the door, like before it all goes out in order. That way, people just know exactly what they're going to grab and how it goes in.
And a good thing to do is if you find one stagehand you really trust, when you're getting ready to load out, like properly push cases out, grab them and say, look, here's the first five things I need. And then come to me after that and I'll tell you the next five things I need. So you have your one guy kind of leading the pack in the venue to push it out to you in the trailer so you can call your trailer pack.
Yeah, a lot of the times what me and Chris do, Chris will go out to the trailer and I'll stay in the venue ordering up the cases and
keeping those white gloves on, keeping them clean.
That's right, my friend. Never.
Never, never.
Yeah, don't expect to be coming into this industry and just be wearing white gloves and not working, man. It takes years upon years.
You're going to work your ass
so
off.
Much time to get to that level where you just walk in and have your shit ready. And then once you're done, you walk out.
don't even expect it. You should do it for the love of the work.
That too. You know what I mean? Man. I mean, I don't even. Yeah, that's a whole nother episode.
If you're there to work and you're there to work hard because it's not an easy job. People kind of think like you're taking the fun party route to go on tour, but it's not, man. It's a tough, physically demanding and mentally demanding job where you really work your ass off.
Definitely. Yeah, man. I see it as like a cool, just a good part of the day to work out, sort of like load in and load out. It's kind of like a workout. Like you just fucking get some cardio in, just boom.
Since quarantine, I have gained weight and lost a lot of muscle because I'm not lifting cases into a trailer every day and not on my feet all day long too. And it sucks. I miss that physical activity.
I know, man. Yeah, it was nice to get it during the week of live stream we did.
Except for those risers.
Except for the risers up the stairs. That one was quite brutal, man.
We had to carry 6 risers up a very narrow staircase that went up and then did a 180 degree turn and went up again. And those are not light risers. There's what, 4x8s with 2 supporting beams in the middle. Ugh.
Especially the old one we used for the drums. Oh my, that one's so heavy, dude. It's like solid steel or something.
Yeah, so it was Peepers made them. So yeah, it's solid tube steel. Oh man, but
oh my God.
After your trailer's packed, you lock it up, and then then it's time to go have fun. Not too much fun. You got to get up the next morning, but you know. That's when you let loose a bit, hang with the crew.
Yeah.
Have a drink.
Just for tour morale, you know, just hang about.
Yeah, you have to.
Usually go take like a shower, wash down or whatever. And then, yeah, just relax. Whatever you need to do to relax, man. Everyone has their different vices.
And that's, I got to say though, a big part of it too is the socializing. Because I can't tell you how many gigs I've gotten by just socializing after the show with other people at the show or other crews of other bands on our tour. A big part of it is that socialization and networking, you know. So the business is all about who you know and how you know them, you know.
100%, dude. Yeah. I mean, you know, I hate to call it networking, but it is that, you know. You just have to hang out, man. Hang out. That's what I call it. Just hang out and show who you are and let people know that you're there and make friends, like I said. No reason not to, like these are your coworkers and
maybe your family if you're touring with them, you know,
and that, but yeah, these, you know, it's also that like family and I see it as friends, man. I think it's like amazing that we got all put together on that same tour in this lifetime. Like I see it as a great opportunity to be present and just share the moment, share the experience, talk about your day, talk about the city. Like
even just talking about gear, you can learn so much from so many people you meet on the road.
That too. Yeah, you get to pick people's brains and just see how they do things. And maybe it sparks up an idea on your setup or your flow, bounce things back and forth. And yeah, you grow both as a professional and sometimes, you know, also as a person.
Yeah. And that honestly pretty much does it for a day in the life on an iRation tour with Los and I. So if you have any questions, please let us know in the DMs. And we would love to have other topics you guys would like to hear about. So I think for this episode of Stage Right, that's about it. Yeah, Los?
It's a wrap.
All right. We will talk to you guys in the next episode, which will be about something. We'll decide that later on.
Coming at you. It's a secret subject.
Yeah, super secret mystery subject that we will have already definitely decided on and planned that we will release in the next episode.
Yeah, you'll have to tune in.
So everyone out there, stay safe. We all hope touring comes back soon. We can all tour together again soon. Los, I hope I see you again soon on Stage Right.
That's right, my man. See you Stage Right. Wash your hands, wear your mask. Stay healthy.
Until then, later, guys.
Big love.